Ah, today on The Cooligan, so many underdogs are winning trophies for the first time in forever. We talk about it. Yo, has football been fixed?
And we talk Major League Soccer. It was rivalry week. We get into a little bit of a heated little debate about player trades. Should rivals be trading players within teams? It's kind of wild. And rapido reactions to wrap it all up. All this and more today on The Cooligans.
Christian, I need your feedback on this. This happened to me this week. And in fact, Carter, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. Is this okay? I walk into a comedy club. It's not a big comedy club, but it was a comedy club. Had a spot this Saturday. And I was feeling a little bit drained in energy. I didn't have a chance to go home and get changed. The Arsenal game, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So I walk in. I was a little drained. I happen to have like an iced tea in my car, right? A can of like high caffeinated iced tea. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'll drink this. This will be a nice boost without drinking like a energy drink or something, right? And I'll just do it. But it's been in my car, so it's a little warm. So I said, you know what? I'll just get a cup of ice at the club. So I woke up to the bartender. I said, yo, can I get a cup of ice? And the guy goes, I got to charge you. I said, sure. Well, I go, you know I'm a comedian, right? And he goes, yeah. So, okay, I'm on the show. And he goes, yeah. It's like, sure. What could a cup of ice cost? Maybe it's the cup. It's hard times. Right, tariffs. Maybe there's a tariff on frozen water. I don't know. I don't know how it works, right? Comedy clubs aren't always the most, you know, profitable businesses in the world. So I said, sure. The man goes, he holds up a regular cup, the cup you would get like a regular iced coffee in or whatever. Not huge. It's got like 4 pieces of ice in it. And I said, can I ask you a question? How much is that? He goes, it's $1.65.
Ooh.
What a random number. $1.65.
You charging me tax?
Yo, dog, what the hell? How'd you get to 65 is the real? That should be a dollar max.
Yeah, yeah.
And frankly, let me just tip you a dollar. Why are you charging me?
Mm-hmm.
He pulls out a prepackaged, like they made it themselves, cup of ice. It's like wrapped in saran wrap, cling wrap.
Got it.
I was like, what the hell? And he goes, wait, what's that? I said, oh, it's a green tea. And he goes, is that from outside?
No
and I go,
way.
Let me guess. I can't drink this. And he goes, no, I'm sorry. And he goes, it's a dollar. I said, I don't want your cup of ice. Why would you? Why do you think I just want a cup of just ice now? What? You just told something. Me I can't drink this. I go, dude, I'm a comic. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. No outside drinks. I go, I'm not even in the club room yet.
Right.
I go, so you as a, I go, you as a business are going to charge me the comedian. First of all, really anybody, $1.65 for a cup of ice is crazy. Mm-hmm. But I understand comedy clubs love to fleece customers sometimes for every little penny because you're a bar that's only really making money 4 or 5 hours a night, sometimes only on the weekends. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love it, but I get it. But you're going to charge the comedian $1.65 for a cup of ice and not even let me have my drink. Even if I pour it in your cup, I bought the cup. I should be allowed to put whatever I want in it.
Right. I mean, this isn't a... look, I'm not going to ask you what comedy club this was because I can't...
Can you guess?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Well, let's not... Because I would imagine that this is more of a scenario with a new employee or somebody who doesn't...
Oh, no.
No
this
way.
This is club protocol.
Get out of here. Yeah. But a club protocol from someone that's worked there a long time?
From the club.
Wow.
These are the club rules.
I mean, it's absurd. And I mean, it's not even almost worth getting mad at because it's so comically just insulting.
First of all, Carter, if you were charged $1.65 for a cup of ice, first of all, what's the scenario that you need a cup of ice and not have your own drink? Let's start there.
Right, right.
That's crazy. You can't even bring an outside drink. But if you went to a comedy club and they charged, and it wasn't great, and they charge you $1.65 for a cup of ice, would you ever go back?
Okay, I think yes, I would. I think the differentiating factor here is that you are there to work. I would treat you like an employee and be like, all right, if you need a cup of ice, it's on the house. You're working for us for the night.
We're the reason the people are there. Yeah.
So I think they should be treating you way differently than they would treat me.
And you wouldn't be upset as a consumer to be charged $1.65 for a cup of ice, though?
If I'm going to the Comedy Cellar and they're like, oh, hey, you can't bring in a drink, or hey, it's, we're going to charge you for ice, I'd be slightly annoyed, but I'd be like, look, this is a business. They need to make money off of us. I get
What if it wasn't the Comedy Cellar?
sure. Any
what
comedy
if it was
club?
The Blomity Bleller?
Look, I guess it all depends on like the level of expectations you have for that. But I think it's utterly ridiculous to charge essentially an employee money for ice and not allow them to drink their energy drink before they're going to go on stage and perform for you.
It's insane. I mean, there's no real,
I hate to use the term disrespected because it makes me feel like I'm victimizing myself in some way. It's like anti the art form in a way.
It's more an insult to the performers themselves. It's an insult to the artist.
Yeah. To the art
not
itself.
Not just you specifically. Yeah.
It's like charging me to use the microphone. I'm like, you could yell if you want.
I'd give them charging you for the ice. I would
as
like,
crazy as that sounds. If that's all I told you, you'd still be upset.
Not letting you bring your own drink is, I mean, that's where it's an insult. I mean,
what if it was open? What would they have said? Go outside and drink it?
Yeah. What's the point of policing comedians in this way? What's the benefit? You know, the comedian's not going to be happy. They're not going to want to work at your club more.
What are you earning? What are you getting out of it?
Yeah, it's a waste.
You're why? The whole point of that is to say, like, you can't bring your outside drink. So if you're a comedian, then you have to buy a drink for me. You're going to try to charge me? You're going to try to get money off me? Mm. I'm the comic. I'm the entertainment.
Damn, bro. It's time for a Alexis Twitter thread.
Yo.
Calling out. Who you need to call out, bro?
I know there's like, this is the audio part of the show, so there's no comments. But put in the comments how you feel about this. Is this not crazy?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? It's, comedy is the least respected art form, as they say. But you would think
you would assume the place whose business it is to harbor this art form.
The name is right in the word before club is comedy.
It's
you would think you would have more respect.
This
for
wasn't
it.
Like we're doing a comedy show at a bar and the guy's like, hey, man, I respect that. We're doing a show at your space. You have your own rules. This is a comedy club.
I mean, you start thinking like who has abused this privilege before? Was somebody?
Did someone bring a six pack?
Did someone bring just vodka?
Yeah,
in their drink. I don't know.
Did somebody bring like a small table with bottles and sell their own alcohol next to your bar?
Little bar cart. Yeah, it's a bit. I'm just doing a bit.
Yo, the guy's like, wait, how much you charge for a margarita? Nah, man, we got that for like $2 less, bro.
Damn, bro, capitalism.
Yo, you got Zelle?
It's the free
market. If you got Zelle, you can buy from me, bro.
Just open up a trench coat with a bunch
like
of drinks.
With just barcode, QR codes in it.
Anyway.
That's ridiculous. Yo, let me know how you feel about that. Am I being too sensitive? to suggest that I don't think I ever want to perform there again.
No, I totally understandable. All right. Let's get to a show that does respect comedy.
Hey.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody.
Is this Men in Blazers? Oh, no. Cooligans. Let's go.
Okay. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Hot show today.
Oh, boy. I'm excited for today's show.
A lot of news. I mean,
that's look, my Christian impression.
But that, yes, this is my Alexis impression is they charged me for the ice.
I'm just as upset now that you said it. No one's going to know what this reference is. I think we cut all this out anyway.
Anyway, we have a lot to go over today because FA Cup, for the first time in their history, Crystal Palace win. We have a lot of MLS to go over, and we're going to do
Rivalry
some,
Week.
Rivalry Week as well. We previewed it before.
Easy word to say. Great marketing.
We previewed it with Michele Giannone last week, if you haven't checked out that episode. And just look, he does a Rivalry Week preview episode with us, and then he's interviewing Lionel Messi a couple days after. The Cooligans bump is real, bro. I don't know what to tell you, okay? The cachet is immediately lifted.
Has it worked for LA Galaxy? We'll find out. We're still in the process.
To
be continued on that one.
And we're going to wrap up the show with Rapido Reactions, but we have to start. Crystal Palace, Newcastle, and Bologna have ended 50-year trophy droughts. I have to ask the question, has financial fair play fixed football? And that's why it is today's top topic. Alexis, Is it fixed? Look, we got you know, these incredible storylines, and you know, teams that we're not used to seeing seeing their fans happy at all, have any kind of joy, and we've seen it now across three teams in Europe. It's pretty remarkable.
I think financial fair play rules have kind of fixed football. I mean, first of all, there was a moment in time where we were all worried about Rebecca Lowe's safety. She did not post after the win.
Yeah.
I'm like, is she running on the pitch, elbowing people right now?
You know what I mean? Does she have Eze on her shoulders?
For real, dude. Is she literally carrying Ollie Glasner and covering him in paper mache to make a statue? Like, this was a massive moment for Crystal Palace fans in a way where you don't see how tribal, you know, British football can be. You don't see so many fans of opposing teams like happy and celebrating for Crystal Palace fans. I saw so many people posting, if you're a Crystal Palace fan and you've been waiting your whole life, next time I see you, first beer's on me. Like, I feel the same way, man. If I know any Crystal Palace fans, I want to like hug you, because I want you to be happy, and I want you to celebrate this massive victory. You mentioned some other teams that have won for a long period of time, plus Nottingham Forest getting into Champions League after, you know, where they've
they're
been.
They're in Europe right now. We're still waiting to have a game left.
You're right.
Still, yeah. So
but the potential to at least qualify for Champions League, for Europe is huge. These are massive weights. You almost have to say financial fair play rules, as difficult as it was when it first came in, as frustrating as it was, probably even for fans of Everton and teams like that, that have gotten point strikes for seemingly innocuous things or things that didn't really fit into the breaking the rules category. In the long run, it has leveled the playing field enough. It has given opportunity for smaller clubs to be able to hold on to their players and not just get all their best players poached by the biggest clubs. It's knocked down some dynasties. Even going back to Bayer Leverkusen, maybe not exactly because of PSR, but Bayer Leverkusen last season and what they were able to do, that seemingly has spread across other leagues. Maybe not to the same effect, but you have to say the rules that have been put in place, while not perfect, have absolutely helped. It's made football more exciting.
Yeah, and just like just seeing the quality improve from a coaching in the way, and I'm talking specifically about the Premier League, but seeing the quality improve through the table, and through the middle of the table, Liverpool are currently on, I think, 83 points. Right. Obviously, and they won the title. To win the title in the last 5 years, to win with like whatever 86 that they'll end up with, that's fairly low.
Arteta was always saying 90 is the number.
Right.
90 is the number. You got to get hit. And so, now to win with that.
So now it's getting
frustrating for an Arsenal fan.
Sure. It's getting harder to beat the Brentfords, the West Hams. And this season is interesting because even the points for the teams that were relegated with what? They were 3 weeks ago or something like that. And they had terrible seasons.
Yeah.
The three relegated teams. And we still didn't get anybody. Nobody reached 90 points. You know what I mean? So those points were spread throughout the rest of the table.
Right. The middle of the table is what you're saying is stronger than it's ever been.
Which says a lot. And and teams have had to figure out ways. Yes, they don't have the same budgets and same quality of players that the teams in the top, four. Right now, I think the conversation about the top four and the top six or the big six or whatever, that's sort of gone, right? There's no
such thing as a big six anymore, especially now when you got Newcastle fighting for a position in Europe, seemingly locking in a position for Europe, maybe not Champions League, or certainly not second place after a loss this weekend. Nottingham Forest being in the conversation, Brighton not really going away until late. I mean, some of these conversations are going to continue where it's not the typical four or five. And also this puts so much more pressure on teams like a Manchester United to not only figure it out, but to sort of straighten their course, because there's so much more competition. Yeah. You know, if you would have said Arsenal, okay, if you would have told an Arsenal fan at the beginning of the season, hey, I could guarantee you Manchester City, you finish above them, you would lock in 999 out of 1,000 would have said we're winning the league.
Right.
I would have been one of those. You would not have assumed that Liverpool would have come out of nowhere. And I think whatever the rules that are put in place, and also it may not just be financial fair play. Also, I think the internet, right? We talk about how social media has made so many more young Americans aware of footballers, soccer players across the pond and really in Europe. and South America have made them superstars in a way wouldn't have happened when we were kids. You would have had to have been someone who cared about the sport to have figured out who these players were or to know their stats or to see their highlights. Where now, there's no reason why an Anthony Edwards highlight isn't followed by, you know, a Lamine Yamal highlight. If you're a kid, you're watching Lamine Yamal highlights going, I know who this dude is. I'm a fan. Even if I'm not a massive Barcelona fan, even if I'm not waking up early on Saturdays to watch soccer, you know who Lamine Yamal is. You know Rafinha's having a good season. You know who Bukayo Saka is. You're aware of these young players.
You're more aware because Travis Scott is at the game.
Right, Travis Scott. Chilling. This is why I'm watching.
This is why I'm watching.
That's why we started the podcast.
I'm trying to see when is Travis Scott going to start doing watch-alongs. Right? So we can watch with it.
When's he going to reverse an Adidas with this with the slashes going the other way? That's what I'm excited about, right? But that, but the world is much more universal. I also think it's the same for clubs trying to find managers.
Sure.
Now you know who the smart tactics are. You could go on a YouTube. You could go to Football Mad, Adam Cleary. You could go to these and see and find out about these managers you would have never heard of. You could go to TIFO and find out about managers and tactics you would have never known. If you run a club, some middling club, you can go, wait a minute. We don't have to get someone who's just really old and British that wants to hoof it far. Sure. You don't have to go get your standard guy who maybe won the league 20 years ago and, you know, maybe found his way out of a big club. And if you're in the second division, get him and hope they can get you up the ladder. Now you could go out and find someone like who's my guy from Brighton? I keep forgetting his name now.
Why am I forgetting his name too?
Oh, dude, come on. Who's the manager of Brighton?
Carter.
All three of us forgot.
He's American. I know that.
Yeah.
But he was born in the U.S.
Fabian Hertzler.
Fabian Hertzler.
Right. If you have social media, you'll find a Fabian Hertzler. I mean, it's risky to hire someone young, but now you can get modern tactics across the board. You don't have to get some old stodgy.
I mean, look,
manager.
You got it, but you gotta feel bad. Old British manager, bro. They're in the mud,
bro.
Dog.
They're all at the pub right now, bro.
They're like, why are these young whippersnappers taking all our jobs?
Yeah, he's like, wait, they're passing side to side? It's not the way they did it when I was young.
Nope. But look, I do want to highlight Crystal Palace winning FA Cup because I'm watching like everybody else. I feel like I was rooting for Rebecca Lowe throughout that game. And
first of all, she's the homie. She's been so nice to us.
Yeah, she's been the best. We've worked with her obviously on the Premier League Fan Fest.
I was rooting for Andrew Mensah, who we brought on the show before. He's been on the show. We've mentioned him. This guy's been at Crystal Palace his whole life. Nowhere near as long as Rebecca Lowe, probably about 3 years less.
Yeah, than Rebecca Lowe. I'm like watching more the Crystal Palace fan content. Everybody screaming Eagles, yeah. And I'm like, what are we in Philadelphia? What are we doing? Are we doing Go Birds or
Go
what?
Giants, bro? What you talking about? It's the Gents, dog.
What's this about? But when you see the fan reactions, especially in the stands, they were grown men in tears. Yeah,
Did you see the TIFO?
I did see the TIFO.
Do you know the background, backstory to it? So it's a man hugging his two children. In 2012, I hope I'm getting this correct. In 2012, Crystal Palace made it to the final of something. Mm-hmm. And in that process of winning the game that gets them to the final, the camera turns to this man hugging his two children full of tears. That man passed away a few years ago. And those two kids were now grown, grown adults. They're in the stadium for this game. Mm. They didn't know the TIFO was their dad.
Oh, wow.
So they saw it. They immediately embraced and shed tears. This is literally what football's about.
Yeah.
This is what this whole sport is about. If you especially outside this country where it's a bit more of marketing here in this country, mm-hmm. but maybe in the next few generations that'll change, right? Because clubs are so new. But if you go back, being a Crystal Palace fan for these kids has to be something that they were like, you don't get the choice.
You know?
You can't go be a fan of any other club. This is what your grandfather was a fan of. This is what his dad was a fan of. This is what your dad is a fan of. This is what you will be. And to see that, it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to see his own TIFO. But for them to honor this man and to honor this image that was coincided so well with the club means the world. It's nothing but uplifting.
Yeah, it's something even for me who obviously got into the Premier League, roughly 12, 15 years ago, you don't hear about much about Crystal Palace, right? They're a team that's there.
Yeah.
It's like in wrestling, the jobbers, you know, the
sure.
Do you know what that is?
Is that a tag team or something?
No. A jobber is the guy who's a wrestler that's just his job. He's not a superstar. He's there to fight Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Like the dude you never heard of.
He's just there. Like you just need a
like warm, a training partner?
Yeah, like you need a warm body.
Practice squad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Crystal Palace, in my mind, they're just kind of that team. They're just there, and they're not expected to win anything. They're not maybe not necessarily expected to get relegated.
They literally have never won anything. And you could count the championship.
And there
as
might
a
be
trophy,
people
but.
That might be like, "You're an Everton fan." They're basically saying, "Maybe," but I'm just saying.
Held one of their trophies.
Exactly right. But I'm in the bubble of Everton, so I understand the history around there a little bit more. But seeing the connection to the team like that, Ian Wright has obviously. Ian Wright came up through Crystal Palace, and how emotional he was after they won as well. It was really something about like not it was obviously everybody supporting Crystal Palace mainly because you know the history and it'd be nice if they won but of who they were playing against
and
we got the evil empire of a thing. That's how everybody was sort of viewing it.
Which it was.
And look, Man City have won the FA Cup. They won an insurmountable amount of trophies, but. There was something, and so the biggest controversy, obviously, in this game was a Dean Henderson handball outside the box, slapping the ball away from Erling
this
Haaland.
This isn't a controversy.
But that's the thing. But
there's literally one person who didn't think it was a red card, and that's it. And it just so happened to be the ref. And can I ask you a question? Are you, because of what you've seen now, the scenes, the glory, the outpouring of emotion that Crystal Palace fans have had, the weekend that Crystal Palace fans have been able to have because of this victory, don't you kind of still think I'm kind of okay with that call not going their way?
I think that's, yeah.
I'm not. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being completely okay, 0 being absolutely not the rules of the rules, where do you sit on this?
I think I'm like a 2. I'm acknowledging
that is ridiculous.
I'm acknowledging
you are soulless.
No, not true, because I'm trying to be as impartial about
a 2 means you're closer to being like, how dare you break the rules?
Oh wait, I'm sorry. I'm an 8. I misunderstood. Woo! I'm an 8. I'm like. I'm acknowledging that there's a little bit of like, it's probably a little bit unfair, and Dean Henderson probably shouldn't have been on the field. But the storyline around it is like, I'm like cool with it. So
there's like a bit of a football is healing kind of a vibe to it.
Yeah, it's like, and look with all the accusations that Man City are dealing with and all this stuff, and you know, people have been, they're not going to be, they're not the underdog by any means. So nobody's really going to support that. But you don't want rules being broken.
Oh, here we go. Nope. Daddy Polanco. Dad's here.
There's
a phrase I've never said before. That's crazy. That was wild. I don't even know how my brain put those two words together.
You know what? It felt natural.
Yeah. I actually, my brain even said the word not in between dad and here.
Because... It is a gray area is not the exact word, but it is an interesting interpretation of the rules to not give a red there. But
I feel like it's worth it. And if it was going against my club, I'd be furious. But in a way, this is like, I don't think you should physically strike other people. But if we're talking about someone who's talking shit about my mom, I'm gonna be perfectly fine with that dude getting punched in the face.
Okay.
That's kind of how I feel about this. Was a rule bent or broken? Maybe. But is it for the greater good? I think so. In a way, and I get, if you're a Manchester City fan, maybe you don't feel this way. And I can be perfectly fine with you not feeling this way. Manchester City winning another trophy does nothing for the sport. It does nothing for the sport.
Sure.
Crystal Palace winning a trophy after a 160 plus year wait. Their entire history with no major trophies, or really no trophies at all, for them to finally win one and to see the glorious outpouring of emotion afterwards, the healing, what this did for South London in general, I'm not only perfectly okay with that rule being broken, I would almost say do it again.
I mean, look, I hate to be, you know.
Go ahead.
This is
Stepdad Polanco's here. We got to get you glasses so you can do
all
this.
All the referees that I follow on social media, they're all basically.
Bro, this is what I'm saying, bro. You hang with the ops, bro. I've been saying this from the minute.
They've all been saying, they'd be like, they've said like this. It's kind of wild that it was not given as a red that VAR. But I mean, it was a counter. The linesman wasn't in place to see. He's like 10 yards off. Can't really see where.
The official rule was because the touch that Haaland would have taken would not have put him in line with goal.
It was
away from goal.
Yeah, that was the ruling. That was the interpretation. Like the
official why this isn't a red card.
Because his touch would have said. So it wasn't an. It was a. In my opinion, it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. But it wasn't obvious that it was a goal scoring opportunity. So. It didn't meet that threshold.
You thought it was a digiso instead of a dog so.
It didn't meet that. Their interpretation was that it didn't meet that threshold. And I kind of understand. If the ref called it, I would have been like, that's red. And like, you can't go the other way. But they didn't call it.
You're doing rules of rules here. I get it. But you know what, though? You know who I'm happy for? I'm happy for Chris Richards. I'm happy for Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Chris Richards had Haaland in his pocket, bro.
And I'll say this.
Shouts to East Mamba. Shouts to Matt Turner.
I do think that the referee was like, all right. I think they thought, maybe I made a mistake here. So let's give a penalty. And they... got a penalty. Bernardo Silva, I thought that was a dive. Did not earn that penalty. 100%. It was Mitchell, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fouled him. I don't think that was a penalty at all. And I think that was the referee being like, all right, let's make it even. And then we'll start square. Obviously, D. Henderson stops the penalty.
Yeah.
And Man City had 9 minutes stoppage time. They had plenty of opportunity to at least tie that game and send it to extra time.
Crystal Palace were brave. And by the way, if Dean Henderson doesn't make the crazy saves that he does,
yeah,
and doesn't save the match, Chris Richards might be man of the match.
Possibly. Yeah. Chris Richards was fantastic. So it was great to see at least a couple of American players, USMNT players, lift the trophy. So, yeah, let us know what you think.
Alabama's own.
Richards. The Pride of Park Ridge matter as well. Go. He played in a couple of FA Cup matches.
He was involved. He got a trophy.
We'll see.
He got a medal.
I still think maybe Matt Turner should make a move.
Sure. Yeah. Conversation for another day.
Yeah.
For
right now, I'm watching Dean Henderson. I'm like, please don't play that well.
Yeah.
I want my turn to play. But yeah, just a wild weekend. Also, Bologna winning Coppa Italia.
Amazing.
Really disappointing for AC Milan.
Now are completely out of Europe.
Out of Europe. So, yeah. I don't know what Christian Pulisic, he signed a new contract. So you would expect him to be there a while. You don't know if he wants to force a move to play in Europe, but embarrassing.
Year before the World Cup, too.
Yeah, embarrassing for AC Milan to not have any European football at all. Especially, and they made moves. Yeah. They signed Jimenez, all this other stuff. So it's kind of wild.
Landon Donovan said that he should come play for MLS because there's also Leagues Cup.
It's an important trophy. You want
multiple competitions.
Everybody wants to lift it. Yeah. Almost every team even plays in it as well. So it's kind of cool. Yeah. All right. We're going to talk some MLS because we have rivalry week over the weekend. And there's a lot of big matchups to discuss.
Welcome back to the Cooligans. There's been a lot of players that have transferred back and forth between LA Galaxy and LAFC. But this brings about a broader question, especially with the Marco Delgado situation. How do you feel about players playing for both rival clubs?
I guess the only way I can answer this is that it depends on the clubs. It depends on the rivalry a little bit.
Give me an idea of what you mean. You mean like if the rivalry is hot?
Yeah, if it's way too contentious. And I let the fans decide, right? If the fans are just like, no, I could never support a player from that team playing for mine. Then, I mean, and obviously the first ones that come up are like the European ones and Arsenal Tottenham, right? Like there's just...
When Sol Campbell moved, it was like, you know, security was needed.
Yeah,
to this day, it's still contentious.
Right. And I just saw like a clip he did with Robbie Lyle. And he was saying that the reason he did it was like, I was young and I wanted to win.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, like, I don't know if that'll help at all with
anybody. That one also got even harder because not only did he win with Arsenal, but he won it at White Hart Lane,
exactly.
Which is... you know.
But the so there's we were talking about this in our production meeting, but like, you know, Seattle.
You know how surprised people are that we do production meetings and things like that.
But Seattle, Portland. I can't. Please correct me. I can't. I don't know of any player that's played on both teams.
Right.
I could be wrong, but if somebody in the
we
comments,
asked ChatGPT and they said Sol Campbell played for both, which we know is wrong.
That's what well, you love AI. Yeah. Great work.
The intelligence part of it is not just there yet, but it is artificial. So is the facts.
So, but yes, this situation with Marky Delgado, and we'll talk. LA Galaxy, LA Galaxy, LAFC. I've already had several players transfer.
It doesn't seem like the fans care that much. So why do you?
So I think it's because So some people do care and some people don't, right? So we saw in the MLS wrap up, Sasha Kljestan, what we were talking about the Marky Delgado situation. He said like that it was a nice gesture from LA Galaxy to give him the ring. So just in case,
what's the context?
Behind if people that are not aware, Marky Delgado won MLS Cup with LA Galaxy last season. Then obviously because of salary cap rules and they couldn't keep him, and he ends up getting traded to LAFC. Mm-hmm. So they do a presentation of the ring.
He deserves to get his ring.
100%. And they, I believe they did this on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So he goes to the stadium. He, everybody, like a lot of the staff that he worked with are there. Greg Vanney gives him his ring. Will Kuntz as well. The homie Will Kuntz, who just did the show. And Marky Delgado gets emotional. LA Galaxy, they post this on social media and this whole thing. And then after El Tráfico, Marky says that he did not know that was going to happen. I think he thought, usually in this scenario, at the beginning of games is when they give the ring. If you played for the other team, they did this. I think they did this with Julian Gressel when he went from when Miami played Columbus. And
right.
He won his ring. So they gave it
here,
to
Can I say the benefit of doing it that way is even though it's emotionally getting the ring, and I'm sure you're going to get emotional yourself. Maybe you'll tear up. Maybe you'll hug some of the former coaches or players or staff or whatever. At least you're wearing the kit of the current team, so where your heart lies can't be questioned. Where your loyalty is can't really be questioned. You deserve the ring, and you deserve to have an emotional moment, and you deserve to have that moment for yourself. However you shake hands or you cry, whatever it is, you deserve that. If you want to hug the people, you worked really hard. For some people play their whole careers and never get that chance.
Yeah, that was it was his second. Yeah, yeah. So, and he's worked with Greg Vanney
for forever.
Yeah. They won together in Toronto. They went to multiple MLS Cup finals, won Canadian championships, the whole thing. Sure. So you understand the emotion behind it, but
you also don't know what it took for that player to get to that point that season. Maybe they had family issues. Maybe they had personal issues. Maybe they had injuries. I will never tell someone whether they overreacted or did too much. I don't care. But at least when you're wearing the kit of the club I support, it lessens the blow a little bit.
Right. So
for them to do this at LA Galaxy Stadium as well.
Yes. And based on the post-game press conference with I still call him Marky Delgado. I feel weird saying
he's
Marky
getting
Delgado.
Older.
He's getting older, but whatever. I don't know if he's like bothered by the Marky, but that's what he was called in Toronto. Yeah. Anyway. Delgado was said that he did not know that was going to happen. So there's a little bit of like they were trying to make like a nice moment, like maybe a viral moment of like, oh, he got emotional and the whole thing.
Or was this part of the mental game?
Get in there.
El Tráfico.
It's look, this is the one thing.
Because if it was me, would you not think that's why I was doing it?
There's a little bit of like.
There's some gamesmanship.
There's like some gamesmanship, but there's a little bit of, Greg Vanney also got his new contract. There's a lot of, obviously, LA Galaxy still have not won a game. Part of me was just like, this is a good move to, take away attention from what's going on.
It's chess, not checkers, bro.
So
this is smart. You put this out. Now you get LA Galaxy, LAFC fans like upset at their own player. Yo, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, the focus ain't on me right now, right? There's no chance.
Hey, look at what they're doing.
I was messed up. Hey,
that's
bro.
An LAFC play. How could he do that?
I wouldn't have done that, even though we invited him and set the whole thing up. I would have never done that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's crying because he loves us. I don't know why. Maybe he doesn't love you as
I've
much as you thought.
I've never seen him cry when he goes into your stadium. I'm just saying, he cried when he came in ours. I mean,
so that's just, we saw Bradley Wright Phillips. Like, Sasha Kljestan was like, it's a nice gesture. Bradley Wright Phillips said, I despise this.
Yeah.
And the timing of it.
And Dax rode the fence.
No. Dax basically agreed with BWP and said, like,
he said that
the timing was the worst issue. Yeah. Like, to do this before you're playing against your biggest rival in El Tráfico, that was the point where you're just like, now it's like it gets to a little bit of an unserious territory. But the issue I have is when Marky Delgado kind of saying after the game, like, oh, I didn't know that this was going to happen. So he said, this wasn't in my control. That part of it is like, now there's a little bit of blowback there, because this is that's not a great look for the Galaxy. They shot their shot, and I think they tried to make a genuinely nice moment. But we go back to players, playing for two rival clubs, like playing for both. This is, I brought this up to Will Kuntz on the show. I'm like, why do you do this? There's so many. And I got, you were making fun of me because I was looking up all the names, but apparently I think it's only been five. I thought it was more. Marky Delgado, Christian Ramirez, Raheem Edwards, John McCarthy, and who can forget Nico Hamalainen, the from Finland.
And now we're all better off for having been read that list.
But if you do this.
By the way, our show was delayed 30 minutes because he really needed to get this list.
It was like three. Anyway.
Sure.
If you do this consistently, you're going to run into these problems because you have to. The fan bases.
But then what are you saying? That you can't do this?
Not that you can. You obviously can. I'm just saying this is the consequence.
You shouldn't do this?
I'm saying you shouldn't do this. That's my general thought. But
think that LA Galaxy can find value in a player in LAFC that is being sent away? You think they should not because they're coming from LAFC or vice versa?
Correct. Maybe it's nonsensical.
What's the reason why? Give me a short
trial. The fan bases you'll lead to problems like this. And fans,
problems like
some,
what?
Some fans hate it. Some fans hate it.
Some fans hate it. So you shouldn't do it.
Correct. If I was building a club, that's what I would do. But I can understand why other clubs do it. Toronto and Montreal have had several players play on both of the teams. Hudson River Derby.
That's also a big rivalry.
It is. So if fans like are okay with it and whatever, and it's not a huge issue, then whatever. But this is an issue, right? Some fans are upset with this. LAFC fans do not.
So you're suggesting don't do something because sub fans might be upset by it?
Yes.
You don't think that's a little bit ridiculous? Your job as a club is to not worry about some fans being upset. Your job is to get the best players possible. And the caveat to MLS is you have to fit it under the cap and it has to fit with all other structures. And sometimes that player may have been wearing the other shirt. Also, it's a single entity. It feels a little silly. I get that some fans might be upset, but you almost have to push that aside and say, I have to do what's right for the club. If Marky Delgado or Mark Delgado brings a championship to LAFC this season, no fan will care what shirt he was wearing the season before.
Totally valid. I'm not poo-pooing that. Oh, I am poo-pooing
it. You're poo-pooing it quite a bit.
Poo. I'm saying I would not do it. Some clubs do it. Some clubs do not. And as far as pissing off some fans, that is something to consider. They are.
Let me give you a scenario. I'm going to give you a scenario. New York City FC acquired John Tolkien in a trade with New York Red Bulls. New York City FC go on to win the championship. John Tolkien scores the game winner in MLS Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the pitch. Do you hug John Tolkien?
I mean, that would probably be the only time I hug John Tolkien.
I'd hug him and spin him around.
That would be.
I don't love all of his social media likes.
It's not about bitterness.
I'm just grabbing one player, regardless of what's going on there. Yeah,
it's not about bitterness about like a player can't do. I understand the philosophy around it. I wouldn't do it. I understand if a club would.
But I think it's ridiculous and short-sighted. I see why.
Yeah.
But it's short-sighted.
This is like if they...
Business is business, bro.
If Arsenal signed a Tottenham player, you're cool? You don't care at all.
If Heung-min Son puts on... If Harry Kane puts on an Arsenal jersey and Arsenal win, hey, Harry Kane's my boy.
What a great example. So you're using one of the most generational players.
Yeah. Pick another one.
What?
Pedro Porro. Okay?
Really?
Puts on an Arsenal shirt. And because of him, or with him, his addition, Arsenal wins a title. Yeah, I've forgiven the fact that you've played for Tottenham.
But, okay.
Hold on. Harry Kane came from Arsenal.
You're not forgiving.
Hold on. Do Tottenham fans hate Harry Kane? He was literally there as a child wearing an Arsenal shirt.
He was part of the academy.
He was part of the academy.
Yeah, it's not as big a deal. That's not as big a deal. They're children. They end up wherever they end up. Nobody's going to be
he
like,
he was part of the academy.
You played it in the U8s. I can't trust you wearing this crest.
You got a microphone.
He was like 9 years old when he left Arsenal. That doesn't matter at all.
Only saying that because he was the best player.
It doesn't matter at all. Man. Like literally, Arsenal let him go.
You wouldn't.
That doesn't matter.
If they signed Pedro Porro, you would be upset that they signed him.
No, I wouldn't.
And then if they won, then you would be like, okay, all is forgiven. But the signing is the issue, not the success. Of course, they're gonna bring some success.
You don't sign someone when they signed Sol Campbell. I was like, how dare you? You know what I mean? I'm like, all right.
You were 12. What are you talking about?
But still,
what the hell?
Good defensive player. Oh, he just said it doesn't matter. What I'm simply saying is bringing in a player from the other team, while generally not the smartest move because some fans are toxic, and we're learning Christian is one of them. I think it's fine. I think it's perfectly fine because if you can find value. Now, if that person comes in and underperforms, they have a big asterisk on them already. So it's going to get even worse. You already know what the jeers are going to be. Oh, this is a mercenary. This is a merchant from the other side. I'm fine with it. I'm perfectly fine. I would love to hear what the fans think because I can't even put myself in the realm of what you're thinking right now.
No, if a rebel player played for NYCFC.
Mehdi Bellucci.
Of course, yes. In the inaugural season, when they needed to just fill the roster, you understand that's a possibility. Okay.
And he's not even beloved. Sure. He's still up with the club.
Fine. Yeah. It's obviously not the exact same scenario. If BWP played for NYCFC, how does he speak about NYCFC? He still sees them as a rival, always wanted to beat them.
If he played for New York City, which I don't think you would ever approve it, but if he did, he probably wouldn't in every post-game conference go, I hate wearing this shirt. I'm rebel for life.
No, man,
no, he loved the team. He's part of the team.
Nah, some clubs do it, some do not. I, as an NYCFC fan, do not want NYCFC to sign rebel players, especially if they came directly from Red Bull. If they went through four or five other clubs, maybe I could like find some way to be okay with it. But even that would be really, really difficult.
First of all, MLS has rules where this is not only going to happen, it's going to happen a lot.
Sure. So again, some clubs they can acquiesce and do what they got to do to have a functioning roster and to be under the cap. And some clubs are like, even if that player will help me resolve my roster issue, I am not signing him. And that clubs do that and some do not. And you pick the lane you want to find success for your club. I don't think it's a thing where I don't think it's a negative thing for clubs to be that petty with their rivalries. And I think it helps build those rivalries and stuff like that. Just this, I just don't love that there's been so many players. And in
single entity, man.
In LAFC's short history, they've had players play for both teams way too many times.
AC Milan and Inter Milan, Will Coots brought it up.
Yeah.
It's happened a lot. Obviously, it's not the most common thing in the world, but it's happened quite a bit. Even Boca and River have had players play for each other, and you would assume that's one of the most contentious rivalries in the world. You would assume that wouldn't happen.
Who's played for both?
Couple players.
Well, that's what a mistake.
Well, hey, they went on to have good careers. At the end of the day, I'm simply saying I understand your point. But if you're a GM, your job is to get the best potential, or the sporting director, your job is to fill the roster with the best possible players, regardless of what little logo they wore on their shirt the year before. That's it.
All right.
In fact, obviously, we have a lot of fans that are fans of clubs all over the world. Let us know in the comments, would you be okay with a rival player? First of all, who's your favorite club? And what rival player would you be okay with being on your team? In fact, pick a player from your rivalry, from your rival club, that you want on your team.
Yeah. Or, if, I mean, I would even... So I think about this. Seeing Anthony Gordon at Newcastle. And he played for Everton.
Yeah.
And he is a Liverpool fan. And he is... Now in interviews, you see it a lot more often. And he talked about how Everton were the only one that really gave him an opportunity. So he took it.
Jamie Carragher is a great example.
Yeah,
he started with Everton. He was blue. His whole family's blue. And then he has to go to the red side.
Right. So, it was interesting. Anthony Gordon mentioned, like, whenever Everton were playing, his family were like, you know, I want you to lose.
Yeah.
But I want you to score.
Yeah.
But you can hear there's a little bit of like, I don't know, disgust is not the word, but there's a little bit of like, I don't care. Like, it was just a job. Like,
I asked Darren Bent once about it, and he was like, I don't care. He was Arsenal. He had to play for Tottenham. He's like, hey, man, that check's a check. It's a job.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get to that point, it becomes a job. He's like, and I know fans have a hard time understanding that, but you got to go where they want, they want you.
I just think it's like the way Anthony Gordon's Everton career ended, that disdain for the club was clearly apparent of like, whatever, like, you know, it didn't start that way. There was a lot of love. There was a lot of support.
Yeah.
And then as soon as times got difficult, it was like, you know, whatever, him, you know, kind of arguing with fans, and fans were, you know, making his life pretty difficult brutal. Too. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not to say that it's only him, but there wasn't that like that appreciation for the times that he was getting love from the club because he didn't really love the club.
And I think in Europe, and I know we have to move on, but I think in Europe there are a lot more emotions, like storied history back and forth. Yeah. There's stuff that adds to the rivalry. You're treating it like Ronald McDonald's putting on a Burger King hat. That's the way you're treating it.
Okay, what a tame example.
Bro, that would shatter the earth.
Okay.
Imagine the Colonel was at Popeye's,
sure, bro. I care.
That would be crazy.
Damn, bro. I mean, I don't know. I'm not even an Arsenal fan, but the idea of them signing Tottenham players, it's just so foreign to me and so weird that I'm surprised that almost anybody would be okay with that.
Anyway. Red Sox players that play for the Yankees.
All right. We got some Rapido reactions right after this. Welcome back to the Cooligans. Let's do a little bit of Rapido reactions. This is Carter's opportunity, our producer, to toss us a couple topics. We have 90 seconds to respond. So, Carter, hit us with what you got.
All right, the first one here. Jeremy Frimpong to Liverpool. We've gotten the here we go from Fabrizio Romano. Is he the right man to replace Trent Alexander-Arnold on the right side of that defense?
I mean, Jeremy Frimpong is a beast. They've seemingly getting stronger. They're retooling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Arne Slot could win it without his own players and now he's getting the players he wants,
sure,
Liverpool might be dangerous again next season.
This it's hard to replace Trent Alexander-Arnold. This is a very different type of player. Trent is an exceptional midfielder that plays right back.
He's an attack-minded defender.
And Jeremy Frimpong is an attack-minded attacker. The pace is crazy.
Yeah.
Him and Salah on the right side are going to be dangerous. Wild. But they're going to be dangerous in a different way than it was with Trent. So it's not going to be pinging passes, making big switches and stuff like that. It is going to be a much more attack-minded defender.
That brings about my fear is that Jeremy Frimpong may not do the dirty work, quote-unquote, that Trent Alexander-Arnold did. The sit back and maybe just make the assists. Jeremy Frimpong should be attacking a little bit more. He should be driving at defenders a little more.
So it's going to, even this one player is going to change the look of Liverpool quite a bit.
But it may take the load off of Mohamed Salah a little
bit. One concern is everybody was always complaining about but Trent Alexander-Arnold's defending. Can Frimpong defend in the Premier League?
Is he even going to be asked?
Sure.
Yeah, we may see something else.
I have a small fear that we're going to hear about this a little bit more far as...
We'll be talking about it.
About defending, so we'll see. All right, who's up next?
All right, next year we have heard officially that Victor Gyokeres is leaving Sporting this summer. They've slapped a £55 million price tag on him. Where should he go? One club from the each?
Is that just like a release clause or that's the transfer fee?
That's a transfer fee, supposedly.
Supposedly. That's his price tag.
He's had 120 goal contributions at Sporting Clube de Portugal. He's been killing it.
Yeah.
It hasn't been as great without Amorim, and that does scare me sometimes. Like, players coming from Atalanta, if you're not under Gasperini, are you going to play the same? Yeah. We tend to find that the answer is no. So I'm a little worried. But 55 million is worth it. That's not that much.
A crazy number. I mean, I think we might say the same team. I mean, Arsenal seems like that's a team that desperately needs.
And he's the price that they like to pay. So.
Right. So, I mean, I don't even know if we need to think of another one. But
the rumor right now is that Bueno is the one who's going to go to Arsenal. So I'm a little worried that they're not going to go after a player of that ilk. But I also think Bueno's a great player. So we'll see. But I would love Jokic at Arsenal.
And that seems like just the right fit. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's...
I could also see him at United under Amorim.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that too. But I don't think they have that kind of money. And they also have a striker that they spent, what, $80 million or something like that?
Oh, is he a striker?
I mean, he is. He's striking.
You got to show me when he's striking out. You got to show me some.
All right, what's next?
All right, Xavi Simons is also, it's been announced that he's going to be leaving RB Leipzig. One club from each of you, where he should go next.
Alexis just hip thrusted very aggressively.
There's only one place this man needs to go. Martinelli, pack your bags, bro. This guy would be perfect on the left side for Arsenal. I've talked ad nauseum about how there is no pressure release from the right hand side. The whole game is played on the right hand side, and you get the ball to Martinelli, he does nothing with it most times.
Yeah.
This man will do something with it. Xavi Simons would be the perfect replacer for Martinelli. No one else even call him. Tell his agent to block his agent's number.
I don't. I think there's a couple options for Xavi Simons.
Why do you hate me so much?
Just off the top of my head, because I haven't had too much time to think about it, but just a couple places I think he would be a decent fit is like maybe a team like Chelsea. I think the style of play kind of fits. Simons has been a little bit, like, at least to me, a little underwhelming. And I'm only really watching him during Champions League.
Yeah.
And RB Leipzig is now not in Champions League. They're not going to be in Champions League next season. So you can understand why
he's going to go to a Champions League club.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so that knocks out like your AC Milans and stuff.
Yeah.
I can see Juventus maybe wanting him, but would he consider that enough of a step up?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're a much bigger club than RB Leipzig, but is that enough of a step up in pressure? Is that enough of a step up in maybe level of play?
Sure. I think we just haven't seen his ceiling, and it's just been a little bit underwhelming. He's had flashes of brilliance, but I think this next move will give him a platform that he really needs. All right.
All right. One more here before we get to our last one. Man City have withdrawn from the Florian Wirtz race. What other clubs will have the money to spend on a guy that's going to be cost about 300 million euros all in?
Ooh. The 300 million is his transfer fee, the agent's fee, and the contract, the salary. So it's kind of a rough way of looking at a number. It makes him look bad when you say it that way. But I'm assuming his fee is going to be north of 100 million.
Yeah.
And there's not that many clubs that are willing to pay that. If Manchester City's out, everybody else got to be like, well, we're out. What are you talking about?
Sure. Bayern is the main one that I believe it has been
pushing for him.
At least a favorite for him to end up at. I thought it was going to be Man City. It's hard.
Especially because Man City has budget. They have budget space.
Yeah.
They have cap space.
And,
yeah.
How much should you go in? I mean, he's a good player. There's
incredible player.
It is also partially like, does he have a knock because he's great, but he's doing great in Bundesliga? And does that make it seem like it may not be worth spending that kind of money on him? I don't necessarily know. I'm not
saying. He was the perfect replacement for Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne also coming from Bundesliga.
Right, right.
Where this is the type of player you want. Someone who's going to do more than, Kevin De Bruyne, than like a Jack Grealish has done. Mm-hmm. And would be able to replace Kevin De Bruyne's, some of his output. No one's going to replace Kevin De Bruyne. I thought he was the perfect perfect person. If they're out, whether this is a tactic to get maybe a little bit of a better fee or something, I'm not sure, because I'm sure there is a Manchester City tax because you got it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I can't really see him going. I can't see another team being able to afford him.
Yeah, that's really the main thing. Like, he could play and
it's
play
gotta
well.
Be a, it's got to be Premier League.
But who's going to afford the price tag?
All right. Now we're going to go to the USMNT real
what
quick.
What about PSG?
Maybe. Let's talk about the USMNT real quick. I want one player from each of you that plays abroad that should consider a move this summer.
I mean, just one?
Does it matter where the move?
You want to go first?
I mean, it's tough because I think he just signed a contract extension. So you know what? I won't say Weston McKennie. I'm really sorry. I'm going to poo-poo on the celebrations. But I think Chris Richards has proven he can take a step up in club.
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't think that. I don't think he can take a step up just yet. But I do think he's very, very good and is getting there. But I think he has locked in being a starter at Crystal Palace, which is tremendous because mm-hmm. there was a lot of uncertainty in the beginning.
He started
there.
As a defensive midfielder not that long ago. So
I mean, it's hard to pick one for myself, but the controversial take for me would be Christian Pulisic. I think playing in Champions League before World Cup year is important. But then the practical choices, obviously, Matt Turner and Gio Reyna is already getting kicked out of his club. So he's going to be, he has to find a new
home.
So
he doesn't need a move. He will be getting a move.
He will be getting one. But those, at least three for me, I could understand making an active effort. Matt Turner and Christian Pulisic, I could understand them making a push to move. Like
then I'll change mine. I'll say Malik Tillman. And I know there's a lot of clubs already, you know, he's on their radar. Uh-huh. Malik Tillman has proven that he is a starting attacking midfielder at a top club. He has proven that. He needs to show he can do it in a much higher level.
I don't think he's proven it, but
Wait till you see how much money he goes for.
But he is good. Okay. That is...
Is that Rapido Reactions?
Rapido Reactions. Shout out to producer Carter. And best of luck, Carter, this Wednesday for Tottenham Hotspur playing in the Europa League final against Manchester United.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hit the wrong button. Jesus.
Because I know it's going to be nervy. It's going to be wild. We're also going to be, I just heads up, we're going to be doing a watch along for that game. So subscribe, hit like on this video, join us for the Europa League final. Alexis.
And hit that little bell so you know when we go live on Wednesday.
So be on the lookout for that. Join us. It's going to be, it's arguably one of the outside of the EFL playoff, the championship playoff, this is sort of feeling like two championship teams trying to get into European competition.
I would say, does anyone have a Manchester United XXL kit I could borrow for that watch along?
Bro, so it's going to be wild. Join us on YouTube as we watch that.
We'll be hanging out with the chat as well, so get in there. If you got... I know some of y'all at work. I don't need to work. Y'all work from home. Stop lying.
Okay.
You're wearing a dress shirt with pajama pants.
Is that who's looking over your shoulder? Your cat? Bro, be worried.
Your cat's not snitching.
He's not going to say nothing.
Nah, his cousin works at my favorite bodega, bro. I'll talk to him.
All right. So we appreciate it. Make sure you hit like on this video if you have not yet. Hit subscribe on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You know, an interesting thing about Spotify doesn't let you leave a review unless you genuinely listen to a few episodes of the podcast. So it's like, you can't just, can't get bombarded. They say brigaded. Sometimes people leave negative reviews and stuff. But it's like, if you're at, you have to listen to like, I think two or three episodes on Spotify before they allow you to
really
leave.
Hate us.
You hate us that much? Bro, damn. Respect.
Honestly, then we earn that.
So feel free to do that as well. All right. We'll see you on Thursday with a brand new episode. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.